Welcome to Healing House with Dr. Eileen. Dr. Eileen is an international healer, speaker, teacher, and published author of her latest book, Frequencies. Share the next half hour with us as we journey to find balance of body, mind, and spirit in an unbalanced world. We then invite you to call in or log into our chat and share your thoughts and insights. And now your host, Dr. Eileen.
Well, hello everyone, and happy Thursday. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. And for those of you who are in the LA area, the guest call-in number is area code 424-258-9337. And for everyone everywhere else, including here in the slightly foggy but still ever beautiful San Francisco Bay Area, the toll-free number is 877-697-9725. Now, we do not have producer Kina with us, at least so far today. So what we're going to do is I will still come into the chat room after the show. So if anybody would like to log in there, I will make sure that I keep track of it, and I will go there and answer any questions that may come up about today's show or any other show. So today we're talking about going down the rabbit hole. And for those who, you know, remember that lovely children's story about Alice in Wonderland, going down the rabbit hole, that phrase has come to represent surrendering oneself completely to a spiritual journey. Just as when Alice stepped through and began to fall, there was no way for her to figure out, you know, a way to change what was happening to her. She had committed to the action by leaning over and taking that leap of faith. I mean, some say she just kind of slipped and fell. But either way, she put herself into the position of heading down into unknown territory. And taking on a spiritual life, especially if you want to start working in indigenous traditions and, you know, some of these really, you know, almost as old as time types of ways of being, relationships with the world, relationships with the universe. One, it is kind of a trip down the rabbit hole because once you start it, it's really difficult to direct where it goes. That being said, you can always step off of it. It may just not be what you want to do. Understand that, you know, when people say it's like, oh, I want to go all the way to the bottom of the rabbit hole doesn't have a bottom. It just keeps going and going. There's always new things to learn. There's always new experiences. What you can do is decide that a particular way of being, once you've investigated, you know, maybe not so much for you. So we make choices, and we move through our lives and our spiritual journeys. And I remember back in 1977, a movie came out, was really very much a paradigm shift for millions of people. That movie was called Star Wars. And for those of you who remember the lines and the absolute insanity, people seeing it over and over and over again, the idea that your life could be going on in a mundane way, and all of a sudden something happens, a teacher steps forward, or some sort of paradigm-shifting event happens, and you step out of your life, and off you go to learn and be and grow, and there's this amazing destiny that's waiting for you. Well, I know that I was one of the millions who watched that movie and thought, oh, man, if I could just meet an Obi-Wan, if I could just be able to walk away from my life and just totally submerge myself in this amazing learning and be that and be the chosen and all of that stuff. I thought it was tremendously cool. And then, you know, I grew. And life happened, marriage, children, working, taking care of people. And for the longest time, I sort of had to put that on the back burner. And that particular aspect of my being, of myself, well, it needed to kind of sway because I had a lot of things that I had to take care of. Then as I grew older and my sons grew and my marriage ended and I became settled in a healing type of profession. And at that point, a teacher came into my life and sort of showed me the rabbit hole, didn't push, and I stepped into it. And through it, I went. And I can't say that it was all tremendously fun. The saying that I apply that, you know, is pretty much my feeling on most aspects of life is it's fun until it isn't and it sucks till it doesn't. And I will tell you there were parts that were tremendously fun and there were a few parts that tremendously sucked. But it never stopped me from moving forward in it. And yes, would there have been times when I would have just loved the idea that I could just study, I could just learn these amazing things that were coming into my life. And it would have been nice if I didn't have to worry about, you know, the cable bill or, you know, house payments or anything like that. And really, how many of us, if offered a chance to say, you know what, all of your financial obligations, you won't have to worry about them. Those will all be taken care of. And you are being offered the chance to go into some sort of magical, mystical place and study a spiritual pathway that is awesome and cool, and you can focus on that for an entire year. Now, how many of us wouldn't at the very least be tempted? I would imagine, you know, I mean, as long as you know, yes, it's actually safe, it's not a scam, and, you know, you're not going to get hit over the head or anything like that. Let's just go on the theory that it is a totally safe, completely 100% dependable. And, you know, a teacher came forward and said, okay, you're it. You're the one we've been waiting for. And now it's time for you to train. I would guess that probably quite a few of us at the very least would give it serious, serious thought. Because it is really hard balancing between both those worlds and still feeling okay. Sometimes it's very, very hard. And sometimes it's not so bad because when we look at whatever it is our spirituality is, or maybe it's just something that you feel really called to and you want to know more about it, and when we first start learning things, it is just an amazing world that opens up and you want to be able to touch onto every single bit of it and you want to be able to do every single bit of it. And you look at the people who are, you know, who are up there as your teachers and who are doing these ceremonies or who are doing these spiritual practices or healing, and you go, oh my gosh, that's what I've always wanted to be. That's what I've always wanted to do. And you focus yourself completely on it. You go get books and you read everything you can about it. And you make it a part of you. And at the same time, you know, we got to deal with our jobs. We got to deal with other people. We got to deal with family. And maybe it's really hard to find balancing of that time. Wow, I would love to go on that, you know, 2-week-long retreat. But, you know, I need that money to get the car fixed or the kids need braces. Wow, I would really love to do this, but there's no way I could take that time, kind of time away from my job. And what that sometimes does is start getting us feeling a little bit down on what we consider a mundane world, the one that we struggle in, the one that we have to make compromises in, the one that may not completely align itself with what we believe is our true spiritual destiny calling. The trick is that even if you get to go and run off and do all those exciting things, well, guess what? sooner or later. I mean, what happens after? After all the epic training, after the hero's journey, what happens after that? You go home and you do laundry, or you go home and you clean out the cat box, or mow the lawn, or get back to the job. It would be really cool if we could live that world. But the point of having all of that in place is to make it so that we can walk in this world in a much easier, much more gentle way. I have, for the last 9 years, had spirituality and spiritual practices as a significant part of my life. And I've been truly blessed to be able to incorporate it into my everyday working world. And I say truly blessed because I know so many people and I've talked to so many people who tell me that they wish that they could have their spiritual life be a part of what is their income, but can't. And it creates a lot of stress for them. And, yes, sometimes you just have to, you know, keep the big corporate job because that's what pays the bills. That's what allows you to be able to do your work and not have to worry, okay, you know, I'm going to do my spiritual work, but I don't have any electricity on. And there's also the paradigm of the family. My sons were grown, and, you know, when I reached the point where, you know, my marriage had ended and I was in a place of, okay, I can kind of go out and do some of the things I want to do, is really important to always consider that we have our spiritual community and we have our family community. And maybe they don't quite understand the intensity of the spiritual call. Maybe they don't get it. And all they see is that you're gone and you're off. Or even when you're home, you're not quite there, because I know what that means when you're fresh in it and it's everything you think of. It's all you can think is about the next time you get to go to class. And that prevents you from being 100% present in that moment, which is totally ironic because most of these teachings talk about being able to be totally present in the moment. And it's like, you know, that first time you step into a carnival and you can't figure out which ride you want to go on first. And it's all lit up and it's all beautiful and it's everything is calling you. It's about finding balance. It's about enjoying that, having that be your passion, and at the same time understanding that it's not your entire life. And understanding that it's okay that it's not your entire life. Yes, if you could go and spend a year and just study, 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 yes, you would be, you'd get really far along the path. And the point, you know, and what's the point of that? It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And maybe you can be able to take several weekend classes. And yeah, maybe it takes a little bit longer. When I was in chiropractic college, I had many demands upon me. I was caregiver for my mother-in-law. I was taking care of my two children. My sister, who had passed away, her two young children were being taken care of my mother, who was diagnosed with breast cancer. So I was helping to take care of her, and I was taking care of all of these different pieces going on in my life, and I had absolutely no time and no energy to fully commit to my studies. So my choices were to quit entirely or break it down, take fewer classes at a time, and really be able to devote myself to what I needed to put my energy into, and enabling me to save some of that energy for myself. We need to find that balance point. Yes, we all know what the perfect scenario that we would love, you know, is. Unfortunately, most often that perfect scenario does not come in. And we just have to make do. We have to figure it out. We have to find the compromises. If you're going to seminars and conferences every single weekend and you have a spouse and children, yeah, that's going to get old quick. Then they will begin to resent your participation in it, and it usually goes into a place of conflict. Find a way to spend the time that you want to spend with, you know, being in your path and in your work, and always remember that the people around you love you very much. And if they get resentful, it's just that they're not feeling very important in your life. And that's a really, really important thing to do, because everything you're studying is about walking more gently in this world, about tapping into that magic. And that magic will mean nothing if you disconnect from the aspects of your world. When somebody, you know, they want to go up to the mountain and gain wisdom, but what do you do afterwards? Do you stay up there all by yourself? Yes, maybe you gain all kinds of amazing wisdom, but you don't bring it down to the people who need it. You don't share it. You just keep it for yourself. And wisdom held in that way, wisdom held as if nobody else should have it, is almost worse than no wisdom at all. In fact, in my mind, it is worse than no wisdom at all. Because if one person gets, you know, this amazing gift and yet refuses to share it, how spiritual is that? So finding that balance point, having really an amazing thing for me, it is so tremendously important to me, and I want to be able to share it with all of you in a really good way, and I also want to share myself with you. So finding that point, maybe your spouse can, you know, take the kids on a weekend camping trip on a weekend that you want to go and meditate. Or, you know, maybe family members can get together and do something and you're able to have some time to yourself. Sometimes it's even difficult just finding space in your day to meditate. If you have ever had young children saying, okay, I don't want to be bothered or disturbed for the next hour while I sit and meditate. In their minds, all you're doing is sitting still, and therefore there's no point in it. Explaining that this is a special time that you're practicing something may help to be able to have them understand that that little bit of time is very important. And that whatever it is you need to deal with, you'll be happy to help them with it either before or after that time. But just to allow yourself to be able to do that. Now, it's really hard when the kids are young. Not so much when the kids are older. When the kids get older, it's like, you know what, I need to go meditate, so I will talk to you later. Or, you know, I'll be out in an hour. And sometimes, you know, that's not met very well. So finding the balance point with being able to be authentic, being able to focus on that time, you know, that you need for you, and yet still knowing that you are an integral part of the family unit and that everybody knows that you care about them and that they're important. You're important and they're important. And finding that space where everybody can feel okay, where everybody can say, okay, I know that, you know, this person needs this space, and I'm all right with it. Now, this isn't always easily done. And sometimes people get very, very angry about any time that's taken away. Because, see, the other piece of this is that going down the rabbit hole, taking these spiritual journeys, changes you. It changes a lot about your personality. It changes the way you respond. And some people are really not happy about people who don't, you know, follow along with the status quo. People like the people around them to be very predictable because it takes a lot of the guesswork out. This type of work makes you very unpredictable. You don't respond the same. The old triggers that it's like, well, they always lost their temper when I brought this up, so that was a way that I could control them. When the trigger happens and the response doesn't come, it's, okay, something's different, and I can no longer predict what this person is going to do. And that's not a bad thing. It's just a way. It is a tool that people use. And one of the tools that people use in relationships is, okay, what are the things that I can trigger that I know exactly how they're going to respond? And then I can build my reality around that. So it's not about you becoming, you know, distant. It's not about you not caring about your family or your friends or, you know, it may be that you realize maybe somebody who has been a friend isn't really the friend that you thought that they were, or that you lose your tolerance for playing the games and the drama and all of that. And when you reach that place of, you know what, I really, you know, can we do this without this drama? There's a better way. Conflict can arise. When we look at our careers, and, you know, whatever you do, as I said, I feel completely and absolutely blessed for the fact that I can incorporate my spiritual practices into the work I do, because I know that's very, very, very rare. When we look at how we might be able to, I mean, you know, if you're in a full-on corporate environment, I don't think you're going to be able to set up an altar or burn sage or anything like that. And there are ways that you can incorporate your, you know, something into it, you know, depending on how much you're allowed to decorate your cubicle, maybe, you know, a particular plant that has a particular representation. Maybe you cannot, you know, put, you know, burn sage or anything, but what you can do is, you know, bring some sage water and just put it on your hands and, you know, just kind of sit with that. You know, most people would not have a problem with that. Fresh flowers brought in each day, and, you know, you put the fresh flowers in, or maybe a plant that has a particular resonance with you, to be able to incorporate those things in. And it's not about throwing, you know, spirituality down anybody's throat. Often, especially people who are new in spiritual lives, they feel that they kind of have to, everything has to be about, well, and what are you projecting, and well, you're doing this, and well, you know, and it comes off very preachy and very judgy. And I've seen this over and over again, where somebody gets into their spiritual groove, and they're new at it, so they want to try out all their tools, so that anytime anybody makes any type of random comment, suddenly they're right there to guide them and correct them and show them how their attitude is incorrect. My friends, people don't like that. They really don't. The first piece of carrying spirituality and especially healing is the ability to listen quietly and without judgment. If someone makes a comment, oh, wow, you know, a huge negative comment about something, the first thing you should do is think, okay, what is it that they're really meaning behind that? You know, what is their body language telling me? What is their way of being telling me? Don't jump to the conclusion that they want or need help, because they might not. They may be just venting. And the whole, well, you know, you're putting negative out into the universe. You know what? There's always positive and negative put out into the universe. Finds its balance. It's okay. The universe will carry on very nicely. And it's more about intention. We can say things out of fear and anger and all of those things, the universe knows what we really need. It's like when you ask for something, the universe will give you what it is you need, not necessarily what you ask for, but it always gives us what we need. And it gives us sometimes the lessons that we need to learn. And when you take on this spiritual life, you got to open yourself up to that, that idea that, well, just because I'm spiritual does not mean that my life is going to be, a walk through the park. It doesn't mean that there are no conflicts. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be tested and irritated and all of these things and challenged. What it means is that you have better tools to be able to deal with it. You have a larger choice of the tools that you use to deal with things. Everyone has their own path. And, many, many, many rivers lead to the same ocean. So somebody has a different way of being. That's cool. Except that that's what they have, that's what they are. If they want to know something else, they'll ask. They'll open that doorway. And then you can go into that place with them. Otherwise, just be your spirituality. You don't have to talk about it. You just become it. The curiosity, the balance, the authenticity. And that is what people are going to be able to embrace with you. And that makes the trip down the rabbit hole a lot more pleasant, when we don't have to add the conflict with the people around us to it. Because sometimes the work can be hard enough. But either way, I wouldn't trade it for the world. If I had it to do all over again, oh yeah, I'd still do it. With its light and its shadow, its high points, its low points, the times when it was fun and the times that it sucked, I wouldn't trade it for anything. So enjoy your trip down the rabbit hole. And if you need any help with it, you can always contact me. You can reach me at, you can email me at healinghouseradio, all one word, at the-healing-house.com. The website, www.the-healing-house.com, is a great way to find out about me and what I'm doing, and we're in the process of going to be upgrading my website, and I'm really excited about that. So, producer kind of never logged on, and I'd like to ask for some good thoughts out towards her, because she has a lovely kitty, and she's got a few kitties, but she's got one that isn't doing so good, and it's probably not long world. And for anybody who has ever had a pet that was sick and that it was coming up on their time, you know how hard that can be. And, just do me a favor and put out some good thoughts for her, because I'm sure she could use them. And, and if any of you is going through that, know that my thoughts and prayers are with you also. So, my friend, thank you for joining me again. I will be opening up the chat room once the show is over. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can go ahead and log on into there. Otherwise, I will be back next Thursday, and we will chat about some other stuff. So I hope that everyone has a wonderful, sweet, amazing week. I wish you blessings in the work that you do and the walk that you take in life. And I wish you gentleness in the processes that you find yourself in. Never be afraid to ask for help, because really that's what it's all about, for us to take good care of one another and to walk in this world gently, to understand and bear witness. This is Dr. Eileen with Healing House Radio. Blessings. And take care. We'll see you next week.